You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back. Happy Wednesday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earl Ingram has a brand new show called What's Going On. It's available by going to civicmedia.us/shows. It's a new podcast. It's a long-form conversation with some of the biggest leaders in and outside the Milwaukee area. And I've been playing for you portions of his discussion with Dr. Howard Fuller. He is a professor emeritus at Marquette University and the founder of the Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy, and they're talking about something very basic but so important for our children, reading and writing, and they do not hold back on their solutions on what needs to happen to educate our kids.
You know, Dr. Fuller, a couple things. What is the MTEA's position on that? And the reason I asked is because 8 Saturdays, and you talked about the amount of time you put the carrot out there, $1,500. Are you getting any pushback from the union on this?
Okay, so here's where we are as of today, and things could change. In our coalition, we have everybody. In May, we were able to get the mayor, under his leadership, to convene a meeting over at the Thrive On Project. There were about 78 people in that meeting, Earl, including the Milwaukee Public Schools superintendent, private schools, charter schools, business community, community organization, young people, old people. I mean, it was the broadest group of people that I've seen in a room in a long time. And no one was in, I shouldn't say no one, there was no, let's talk about choice. What the mayor stood up and said is, all the children who are going to school in the city are our children.
Yes.
We got to focus on all of them, irrespective of what kind of school they're in. That was the focus. So what has happened, Earl, is Act 20 was passed. There was $50 million put aside to support Act 20 statewide. The governor vetoed the money out of the act. So the mandates were there, but there was no money from the state to support it. So right before the budget was passed, the Supreme Court ruled that the governor did not have the authority to do what he did, which meant then that the roughly $50 million was once again available. Because when the governor vetoed the money, the legislature sued him. And so that's why it went up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled actually in favor of the legislature. So as soon as that ruling came down, Joint Finance released $9 million, which was in Act 20, to hire coaches, which I questioned, but it's not, you know, my thing.
Right.
There was another $39 million or so then that the legislature divided up into two pots. One is to reimburse districts and schools 50% for curriculum that's aligned with the science of reading. Remember when I talked about the materials that we would use to support the training? That's not the curriculum. Letters training, for example, is not a curriculum. So you have to have a curriculum that's aligned with the science of reading. And for those districts and schools that purchase that curriculum, the DPI will now reimburse them 50%. The second pot of money is set aside for professional development. What we're trying to do is to say that the money that comes to Milwaukee for professional development would come to the Milwaukee Reading Commission instead of going directly to MPS or individual schools. We would then try to combine we would combine that public money with the private money that we are also raising. And schools can apply to get the money to do the three things that I said, to pay for the training, to pay for the materials, and to get a stipend of $1,500 for completing the training. Now you asked, where's the MTA on this? I don't know where the MTA is on this because we're dealing with the superintendent. You know what I mean? In other words, the superintendent is who is representing the district. And if MPS remains a part of this, and we hope that they will, then, you know, MPS would come to the Milwaukee Reading Commission to with proposals for X numbers of schools to get the money, but they would have to go through the training with Fidelity. So that's, it's a little bit more complicated.
You know, 38% of Americans have college degrees. And so I think it's important because a lot of times many of us think that that number is higher than it is. And so all of us, most of us think it's important that we get as many people educated as possible since we're in a technological global reality. And it's going to be more and more difficult for people if they haven't, you know, gotten as much education as they possibly can to deal with the world that is forthcoming. It's not going to back up. It's going to continue to move forward.
You really want to listen to that entire conversation between Earl Ingram and Dr. Howard Fuller, and you can do that by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Earl Ingram Show and find the episode entitled Reading in Schools, What's Going On. Download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. And if you want to hear more from Earl, stick around because at 8:06, he joins Pat to talk about his new show, What's Going On, and other stories from Milwaukee. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. While we're more than 13 months away from the governor's race, which will be decided in November of 2026, we want you to know about who is running for that position. Over the past few weeks, we've talked to some individuals who feel like they are the most qualified for the job, and today we are introducing you to State Senator Kelda Royce. She stopped by Matinair on Air to talk to Jane Matinair and myself and talk about one of the most important points of her campaign, something for all to think about, and that is education.
Well, you made your announcement on our friend and colleague Todd Albus program that you were jumping into the race for governor. So, Senator, for people who may not know much about you, and tell us a little bit about Kelda Royce.
Well, I was born in Marshfield and spent my early years in rural Taylor County, which if you're not familiar, it's north of Highway 29. My family lived in a one-room schoolhouse that my parents remodeled after it was vacant for many years. I now represent the Dane County area in the Wisconsin State Senate, where I serve on the Budget Committee. I also previously served in the State Assembly, where I helped fight against Act 10. I'm an attorney and a small business owner, mom and stepmom of five, and I was the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin. So I have been in the fight here for Wisconsin alongside all of you and your listeners for 25 years.
It's 25 years, really?
Yeah.
Well, we are living in such divided times, Senator Royce. How do you come in as governor and try and get things done and appeal to everyone? What would be your first priority if you were elected governor, do you think?
Well, my first and only priority is making sure that Wisconsin is a place where every single family, no matter who you are or where you're from, that you have the freedom to thrive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly it's about making sure people have good paying jobs that don't just pay the bills, but let you actually build the life you want, mm-hmm. right? Give your kids the future you want. Making sure we have affordable housing and childcare, that everyone has access to good health care. And reinvesting in our public schools that have really gotten shortchanged over the last generation. So those are key priorities. And I think, you know, there's so much emphasis on the things that divide us. And that's a really cynical thing that I think the right wing has done with our politics. But when you actually listen to people and you travel all over the state, as I have, right. you know, for more than 20 years, mm-hmm. you find that we've got a lot in common. People really do want the same things. And the policies that I'm supporting are not controversial. They are supported by the vast majority of Wisconsinites. They want someone who can get it done.
Well, and I think, and we've talked about this a lot, especially when it comes to public schools, most people love their own public school. There is this perception it's that other public school that's the problem. But I like my kids' teachers. I like my kids, mm-hmm. you know. And so I do think that there's wide support for public schools if it's in your own backyard.
You're absolutely right. You know, and the reality is that the vast majority of kids in the state go to public school, and it shouldn't matter how wealthy your parents are, you know, what kind of neighborhood you could afford to live in, you know, how rural your community is. You deserve a great public school. And we need to focus not just on making sure that teachers have the resources they need and schools do too, but also that our kids are equipped to thrive. So it's not just more money, but it's actually better schools for our kids.
It's really disturbing to me. And I want to say this goes back at least 20 years that we expect teachers to pay out of their own pocket for school supplies. When mm-hmm. did this become so normalized that we just don't have the money to give paper and rulers to our kids?
Right. You know, and I think about every August, I'm always in a mad dash to get school supplies for my kids. And, you know, I try to get as many things off those teacher wish lists as possible. I send my kids with extra supplies because I know there are families out there that can't, you know, that will really break the bank for them. And the reality is, this is why I've been such a champion for healthy school meals for all. Right? Because every kid will do better and learn better yes. if they have good, nutritious, healthy food, that a lot of it can come right from our own farmers here in Wisconsin. This is a win-win. And think about the burden that that takes off of working parents, right? Even if you can afford all the grocery cost, you know, trying to get your kids fed is really important. And school supplies is one piece of that. But we don't expect firefighters or police officers to spend thousands of dollars on their training, you know, to go to extra schooling, to buy all their own supplies, to, you know, chip in for the fire engine.
Right.
And yet we somehow have normalized this with teachers. And when we see now ICE agents being recruited, people that have been rejected from police forces all over the country, people that are not qualified to be in the military, and they're being offered six-figure salaries and massive bonuses. Oof, that's yeah. a kick in the gut to the teachers.
Absolutely. And I want to take the education component and attach it to something bigger. And I want to reference something that when you came to our show a couple months ago speaking about the Wisconsin state budget and the news had come out, Senate, your colleague, Senator Hesselbein, got in the room, talked to Republicans, Governor Evers signed it. It seemed like we're like, oh, here we go. And you came on our show and you're like, no. And I was like, oh, no, what happened? And really, I want to thank you and also Representative Hong for being so vocal. And there were others, too. But the two of you being so vocal on what you did not like about this budget. It passed. It needed to pass. We didn't want to go back to old spending. But I guess the question I have for you is your non-support of this budget. What are you going to do in the governor's office when you get your mind around the budget as far as being governor? How are you going to fight for the things that you feel we all as Wisconsinites need in the next biennium? If you want to hear that answer from State Senator Kelda Royce, you want to stay tuned, stick around, stay close, be here. Don't go anywhere because she answers that question on what she would do with the next biennium budget and how it would work for all of us here in Wisconsin. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on coming out of Civic Media, you're going to sign up for Civic Media Today, which is our brand new newsletter. It's free and gets delivered to you daily. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com and sign up today. Stick around because at 8:35, Pat welcomes a guest who will be making breaking news about a new candidate in the 7th Congressional District, and you want to stay tuned for this one. Stay close. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I am back, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier, I played for you a selection from our interview with State Senator Kel DeRoys on Matin Air on Air, talking about her bid for governor, which we're all going to the polls for next November, 13 months away. But we have to stay informed. And we were talking about all sorts of things, and I want to get right back into it with an answer she gave us regarding the current budget that we passed that she was not happy about, but also what she would do next time if she were in the big chair.
Well, for me, it's really about what are our priorities, and the budget is where you show that. And I will say, you know, we've got a lot of good Democrats thinking about running for governor, but I'm the only one that has served on the Finance Committee, and knowledge of that state budget is incredibly important for our next governor, because we're going to have a really short window of time in which to make real change and actually invest in our kids. So for me, it really is looking at the fact that our kids have not gotten an inflationary increase in their schools in a generation, in 15 years. They're still not recovered from the deep and devastating cuts that Scott Walker made. Yep. And, you know, the other piece of it is we are shoveling billions of dollars of our taxpayer money to private, unaccountable voucher schemes. You know, and private education is fine, but taxpayers shouldn't be footing the bill. And the vast majority of families that are taking advantage of those vouchers are people whose kids were already in private school.
Yep.
The parents were paying, yep, and now the taxpayers are footing the bill for wealthy people who want to send their kids often to religious schools. And I think, you know, that offends a lot of Wisconsinites, because we know that every kid deserves a great public school, but we can't continue to fund two school systems, especially when we've been shortchanging our public school kids.
There is a tracker.
I will get it in the show notes. It's a tracker from the Wisconsin Education Action Network. But what they do is they allow you to drop down into your specific school district and find out how much of your tax dollars are being siphoned. And I'm using that word siphoned deliberately into the voucher program. And another thing too, State Senator, it's not only people who children are already in those schools, but it's also to families who can certainly afford those schools too. So they're getting free education.
Well, and the piece that blows my mind the most is that there is no oversight body for these schools. They don't have to report to a higher standard. There's no one overseeing their graduation rates, their curriculum rates. They don't have to do the same kind of reporting that public schools do. And yet we're giving them taxpayer money. I don't understand.
And they don't have to follow the same laws either.
Right.
I mean, you know, these private schools, they can discriminate against students.
Against anybody.
Can you imagine? Against teachers in the employment context, and their teachers don't have to have the same kinds of licensure and educational requirements. And so... You know, again, I think parents can make whatever choice they want to, but the idea that taxpayers should simply foot the bill for wealthy families to send their kids to private school just doesn't pass the smell test.
This has been tried in numerous other states. I want to say Arkansas jumped in big on school vouchers. I believe Arkansas has also done the same. And there have been reports about this, specifically about the number of people who, as you pointed out, Senator, can afford private schools, already had their kids in private schools. They were paying for it. The vast majority of these people are the ones who are getting the benefits, who don't
That's
need
exactly
them,
right.
who
yeah.
don't need them.
Right. And, I think about the fact that all of us want our kids to have a great education. I mean, we want our kids to have more opportunities than we did. It starts with our public schools, and our kids deserve that investment.
And I think something going back to what you said, Jane, too, people, you know, the people love their public schools. They love them so much that they vote to raise their own property taxes for them. Right. And I've said this before, and I will continue to say this. I do not have children. I do not have a direct stake in my public school system in Kenosha, but I voted to raise my taxes because I understand the effect, impact, and the long-term investment of having good schools in your community and how it comes back to benefit you as a taxpayer. So I voted yes. It did not go through because I think, honestly, some taxpayers are saying, why do I have to keep doing this? And it's, as both of you were saying, is because it's been systematically choked out and suffocated by one side of the aisle, who, by the way, and I always say this to Robin Voss, if you're listening, the greatest increase in a generation doesn't mean anything to me when you barely gave them any money in the first place. When you give them 10 bucks one year and you give them 15, that's not worth bragging about. And that's what you did to education, including 0K to 12 increases. So sorry, I'm gonna take a moment.
They dug a 10-foot hole. They threw 3-4 feet of dirt in and gave themselves a pat on the back.
Exactly.
Give them a break.
Yep.
Right. Well, let's be honest about what's happening. And the property tax thing is real. These divisive cycles of referendums and forcing school districts and frankly our local governments to go to taxpayers and say, please raise your own taxes. That is really unfair. And it pits neighbor against neighbor because property taxes are too high in the state because of Republican policies. Republican politicians have hoarded billions of dollars at the state level. They have left revenue on the table by keeping cannabis illegal. Meanwhile, other states have legalized it. They have shoveled our tax dollars to vouchers and to big corporations and the wealthy, and are shortchanging our kids and forcing you, property taxpayers and homeowners and renters, to foot the bill. And it's just not okay.
Well, and I think the biggest example, at least for me, on how the government has not been adequately funding municipalities, the city of Brookfield had to do this, people. The city of Brookfield had to bring a referendum. Brookfield is a pretty wealthy community. And even they were like, yeah, we don't have enough money. This has been a problem.
It was so great talking to State Senator Kelda Royce about her bid for Wisconsin governor that I'm going to play for you one more selection because this was a great discussion on Matt and Air on Air. And if you want to listen to the entire thing, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Find Matt and Air on Air and look for the episode entitled The Trail Ahead, State Senator Kelda Royce. There you can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. As a reminder, at 8:35, Pat welcomes a guest who will be breaking some news about a new candidate in the 7th Congressional District up north. So don't go anywhere. Stay close. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I will talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I am back, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. As I promised before, I've got one last selection from our interview with State Senator Kelda Royce, who made her declaration to run for governor in 2026 for our great state, the state of Wisconsin. She was on Matt and Air on Air, talked to Jane and me, and as she said, she's from the Northwoods, and I wanted to get her understanding on why the Northwoods, as well as everywhere in Wisconsin, is worth fighting for, not just the big cities, but everyone who lives here. I saw an opinion piece come across the Cap Times 2 days ago from John Nichols, and this applies to the congressional race for Tom Tiffany's seat as far as his running, but I think this applies to what you are talking about, especially from where you come from, which is the title is Democrats Should Fight for the North. And I think that in the past few years, people have realized, oh, Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay aren't the only Democrats who vote. I think we've seen an importance of finding out what those folks out in the North, it meant not even if they're Democrats, just what people are talking about, because they can get left behind, because people, Democrats, can sometimes say, farmers, they'll never vote for me.
Why should I go there?
Rural people, they'll never vote for me. So you're from the North, and you hear those conversations. What do you hear from those individuals, and tell the listeners why it is important to fight for the northern area of Wisconsin?
I think we need to fight for everyone in Wisconsin, no matter who you are or where you're from. And there are a lot of people out there who are struggling, that have been betrayed by Donald Trump and by Republicans in Washington. And they have every reason to be angry and upset, because he promised to lower costs, and everything that he has done has stabbed them in the back, right? He's raising costs. The tariff taxes are costing families thousands of dollars more in added costs for items. Our farmers are suffering. Meanwhile, he's spending $20 billion to bail out an Argentinian dictator and help their soybean farmers who are competing against ours, who now can't sell their soybeans to China because of retaliatory tariffs and the chaos Trump is causing. So there's a lot out there. There are people who will vote for us. They will listen to us, but we have to go and show up. And, you know, I think we have to, the tone sometimes that Democrats use to campaign, I think, is real off-putting to people. And you have to be willing to welcome people who think differently from you. I mean, that's kind of a, you know, Midwestern value, is like, we take care of our neighbors, and then, but we don't get up in their business. And
that's right. Yes.
And I think sometimes, you know, Democrats, or especially like on the left, you get a little bit of, you know, telling people a little bit how to live and how to think. And I just, you know, that's never been my deal. Yeah. I just, I'm really a live and let live kind of person. I want you to have healthcare, whether you like me or not. And I want your kids to have a good school, and I want your roads to be well-paved so you can get your, you know, milk to the cheese plant, regardless of whether you vote for me or not. And I think, you know, we've kind of, we need to show up in these places, and we need to listen carefully to what people are saying, and they have every right to be angry, and we can help them.
Well, and I would like to think that over the last couple of years, and especially when we had Ben Wickler as the head of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, there did seem to be a lot more outreach and a lot more people on the ground in some of these areas where maybe Democrats would not have traditionally campaigned. So I do think that there's more, right? There's been a greater effort to try and do some groundwork there.
And when you see our rural areas in Wisconsin, they are not as red as in other kind of similar states. And there is, remember, Wisconsin has a great history of being a progressive state. So a state that really has fought back against billionaires and barons and, you know, the kind of corrupt politics that we are seeing now out of Washington. Wisconsin was one of the first places to fight back and say, no, people actually deserve power in our political system, not big corporations, not dollars. And I think we can do that again. We can reclaim that mantle and invest in our communities, and especially in rural communities that have really been left behind.
I think you bring up a very important point, too, in, as far as when it comes to Democratic politics, the inflexibility that they can show towards those who disagree with them. And then we'll have sometimes the temerity to say, well, the Republicans are so inflexible and immutable. Well, we all have our own biases. And it's a time right now, especially in these times, to sit back and listen to people tell us about their problems and why they think the way they do. We can't promise to change our minds, but what you can do is promise at least to listen.
And I learned this, you know, being on the front lines of the abortion rights movement, you know, in my early 20s, right? I got to hear from so many different people who had a wide range of opinions about abortion, but I never shied away from going on Fox News or going on Christian radio, because I think it's really important to say, I respect the fact that you disagree with me on this. It's okay to have deeply held beliefs that are different from me. I've got my values, and, you know, I don't want to regulate what's going on in your life, and here's why I don't want this to be regulated, because it is personal.
Right? Absolutely.
It shouldn't be the government. Yep. And you can win people on that argument, even if they disagree.
State Senator Gail DeRoy is running for Wisconsin governor. You have many, many, many months ahead, I'm sure. I'm sure. Oh. We would love to have you back, of Please. Course. Thank you so much for your time, Senator. We really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
Have a good day.
A huge thanks to State Senator Kelda Royes and her campaign staff for making this interview happen. She's very busy, so for her to take time out of her schedule and join us to have a great talk is very, very much appreciated. Go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Matt and Air on Air, and find the episode entitled The Trail Ahead, State Senator Kelda Royes. You can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, civicmedia.us/shows. And don't forget to sign up for Civic Media Today, our brand new free newsletter sent to you every day. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com for a great roundup on everything happening around the network delivered directly to you, again, for free. One more reminder, at 8:35, Pat's welcoming a guest who will be making breaking news about a new candidate in the 7th Congressional District. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a fantastic Wednesday. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.